say you have a friend like Pastor Isaac. Yes. You know you don't get them so easily. There are friends like this. Yeah. Appreciate him. Appreciate also the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. This morning. Before we sit down, I want to appreciate the person who has come here. Prophesy to them and tell them, you know what, you thought about favor? Yeah, we are entering a season of great favor and perfection. And in your family, yes, yes, prophesy to them in this morning.
You came fast, you are taller, you are what, you are almost everything.
say they have to, because the challenges comes with it. Yes. So born in Nyeri, Kenya, Central Province, yeah, in Moiga. I was not born in Moiga, I was born in Hororo, which is not close to Lomohoya's location, in the hospital called Madari. That's how I was born. Then, but I was brought up in Moiga. We relocated in 1963 during the independence there. Yeah, already we relocated to. So I was brought up in Moiga, went to school there, then went back, we went to my high school in Kelowea Girls in Kirinyaga, then the Lelike Girls in Kabete, Roa Kabete. That's my story. Yes, we are four girls and five brothers. So from me as the first a girl, then following about five brothers, my sisters were born, all that. Every time mom came from the hospital, I was expecting a girl. When she says a boy, I was like, oh, because I thought I would do it here. But now I celebrate. How many loves brothers? They are good. Yes. They protected me. Yeah, I was born as just an ordinary girl, and I know, yeah, but too much responsibilities. My dad was a businessman. I learned how to do business at an early age. He used to buy cows from different places, and he had a contract to supply meat at the Kenya meat. What are you calling it? Kenya. Yes. Yes. Yeah. They were partners with this man from Nyeri. Those were from Nyeri. Macharia Lungara. Macharia Lungara was one of the people like owned Nyeri, the whole of Nyeri. You know, he was rich. He was the Donald Trump of Nyeri. Yeah. Every building. The road tracks and everything, you could see them. Macharia Lungara. You go to the farm, the very famous butchery in Nyeri that time, Macharia Lungara. Yeah, constructing roads there, everyone, Macharia Lungara. That man was rich, yeah. But he died at another age also, yeah, and very rich. So my dad was working with him, although my dad wasn't in that level of Macharia, but he had businesses. He had also businesses. Yeah, we went to private school, those who are little bit here, but later on. So what am I saying this? To go background to what we are, yeah, where I have come from. So as you see me, yeah, when I was in high school, went to Kelowea Girls, passed away well. I was taken, that time they had five and six, from five and six. You can now calculate we are a little bit, yeah. Yeah. Some of you, they don't even know what they are, five and six, from five and six, oh yes, before we went to the university. Yeah, we had to go to form five and six. So when I was in form five and six, and it's my dad who took me to school, yeah, he could not believe a man could drive me there. He protected this girl, and you can imagine the journey all the way from Nyeri to Nairobi and to Roa Kabete. The stories my dad was telling me, and I could remember very well, he always used to warn me, yeah, concerning men. And I don't know why. He used to tell me, yeah, Wajiko, of course, mom, mommy, you need to protect and make sure, because I see you have a destiny. He wanted me to be a lawyer. Yeah, he wanted me to be a lawyer. And I think maybe I would have done well. Yeah, but I did not go that. He wanted me to be a lawyer, and he told me to be tough, to be strong, and not to fear anybody. Yeah, he was not that spiritual. My mom was more spiritual than him, but he was talking, I think he was taking the part of my mother, talking to me. Not many men talk like that, especially their age. Very, very, he would hide nothing. He could not hide anything. And I was feeling a little bit shy, but he was talking everything. And when I was going to school, he would take me to the store. You know, girls have other things that you don't want your dad to see you buy. He would tell me, did you forget that? You need all those things that you want my dad go there. I want to pick whether you are not there. You could tell me, you knew I need it. Did you forget that? Then, unfortunately, five and six, it was fine. When I was in form six, just before we sat for our exams, my dad passed away. Yeah, he passed away. I told you we are 11 in the family. Yeah, he was a businessman. And those who come from Kenya, mom was just taking care of us in the farm, yeah, planting some maize there. You know how mom would do. But when it comes to school fees, dad takes care of that, takes care of our uniforms, takes care of our clothes. Mom is just little food to eat. It was not food. she was not working in the farm to get income. It's just like a hobby. So when my dad died, he died with the business. The corruption in Kenya took away every business. Mom did not know where dad, where was he buying this cows and bulls and air to take to the Kenya? How, what property he had bought, some of the properties he had bought with other people, others were, yeah. Everything, especially, it's only two farms, yeah, that were left. The ones we were living in and another one. The rest disappeared. Later on, I came. Even the one we are living with, there is later on, God used me. God used me to recover it because somebody wanted to take it away. And now I was here. Thank God for Joe Gedeji, who those who know him, Joe Gedeji was the permanent secretary that time in the office of the president. And they were friends with my dad, he's the one who helped. So all this, yeah. So when he died, the ones he was speaking to me, they became live. I became what I'm saying, the John the Baptist. I came, and you can imagine we're 11. I am here, the firstborn, without knowing so much, but God gave me that responsibility. And it was a challenge. I was expected to do very well in there, but I did not do as I could have done. Yeah, because of that challenge. So later on in my heart, I could see mom struggling, and later on I was hired. I worked in the ministry of agriculture and the ministry of what? And my first salary, I had to help to pay school fees, my brothers and sisters. Because no one else were here. Yeah. Between me and my brother who forced me were for about 4 years. Because my mom got pregnant, she got married when she was going to Kamaya Teachers College, but she did not complete that. She got pregnant, she got married. So she was trying to go back, then she got married. Yeah. So there's a gap between me. So I was the one who was a little bit mature, but it was hard. Yeah. So I saw my mom struggle. You can imagine from private school, from living well, we had a car, we had everything going. I saw my mom struggle. But one thing my mom had is she is a woman of prayer. Hallelujah. I could hear her in the morning praying, and she was quoting Ezekiel 37. And she was saying, we are these 11 bones. She was calling us bones. Mahedemaya, yeah. You know when she prays in Kikuyu, it's really deep? We then become anything. And she would call us by name, bone by bone, bone by bone. She would, yeah. Later on, God gave her an idea. She went to Kitale, yeah, rented a big farm, and she put some maize there to take care of our children, take them to school. So what am I saying this? So when now, because we do deal with the widows, you can see where I'm coming from. My mom became a widow. And that time she was so young. Actually, she became a widow when she was 40 years. 40 years. At 40 years, we were all born. 11. She married at 11. Yeah. So one of the things that I learned, that the Lord put, and I remember now, is the Lord putting in my spirit. I could see her struggle. I could see her struggle. And I said, when I grow up, and I want to just help other people. You know, helping people who I need? I started seeing the need. Because when we were going to school, I would see neighbors. Sometimes they would come. Oh, I could ask, are you going back to school? They could help. I could meet others even on there. They could help. How are you doing? I could meet my brothers. I remember my brother is one of the neighbors who paid his school fees. Yeah. We used to have shoes after that. No shoes going to school. Well, what is more important? Put food or the table or do something or the shoes. Forget the shoes, yeah. But those who are young, they did not see much difference. But for us, it was real. So I saw neighbors, I saw friends, I saw relatives helping us. And little did I know God was also building me in this, what I would do later on. And I didn't know what I would do. Then, of course, I grew up, got married, yeah. And two girls, I have two daughters, and now I'm a granddaughter of two. Just clap for me. So later on, I came to this country, and I had purpose. I'll go back and help, and help them. So I went to school here, and it took me a long time. It took me about 4 years, which is what I thought it was the whole century, yeah, to go back to Kenya. After 4 years, I got my green card and I got everywhere I went. I went back to Kenya. That time it was not as hard as it is now. Now things are a little bit tight. It was, yeah, yeah, it was not so hard. I went, although it took me 4 years, but still, yeah, yeah. I went back, and I'm telling you, when I landed in Nyeri, the things I was thinking about helping, and that is 1990, I've been in this country for a long time. I said, there's something I need to do. Then I was told by my sisters, so I saw, Baba so and so died, Baba so and so died, so I could imagine, hey, Mama Kalemi now is a widow. I could imagine Mama Akio, Mama who is a widow. So I went to the store, bought some sugar, bought some wine, and I went to visit her. Yeah, visit the widows. Not before anybody else, I went to visit the widows. When I was there, I felt something is good. You know, like you're doing something, it's not a regular thing. Yeah, the Spirit of God was speaking to me. I left. It took time, I could take even like 2 years, 3 years. You know, it is so expensive to go back to Kenya. And I could do the same. Yeah. But in 2011, I went back there. That time I had more money. We had the ministry. We had this. And I was not going for the widow's thing. I was just going to visit. We had a family reunion. And I would go preach because whenever I went to Kenya, I'm trying to cut the whole story short so you know where I'm coming from. Yeah, I could go preach in other places, widow's conferences. Bishop Getogas would invite me. So I was going also. I knew I would be preaching there. But when I landed in LAX, that same desire, I forgot that I was in the flyers to preach. The thing that was like bringing me there was to go to the villages and see the widows. Yeah. With nothing. That time, it's not that I had even asked anybody to help me. So I went again with my little allowance, went to the warehouse when I bought that. Yeah. It was Christmas time. I bought unga, I bought mochele, I bought all those kind of things, rice, and I went to see the widows. And I told mom after I bought things for mom, I said, mom, I'm going to see so and so. Then I asked my sister, who is the other widow? And she counted them. I thought they were out of her mind, they were almost 20. I said, what? Yeah? And those are just, mama, you know, they call me big sister, those are just the ones. So I thought, I don't even have enough money to do that. So I visited. It was in the evening when I was walking back to my mom's house by myself after visiting the widows. I had a voice. And I thought, I had a voice. Somebody spoke to me. And the voice was, do it big. Do it big. I said, well, do what? Do it big. Yeah. Not just, you know, visiting and you leave it. I went back home. My sister was there. She had come to visit. I told you we had family reunion. I saw her. Her name is Waikiro. So Waikiro, I heard a voice from the Lord. And tomorrow, you know what? Forget about we are going to see my auntie, but forget. Can we sit down and write the names of all the widows that we have in this region? Yeah. Tell me, because she lives there, she knows better. Yeah. She knows. And the number came. Not for about 10 miles radius. I think less than 5. The number was 80 widows. 10 miles radius. 80. And I told them, who can help us bring them together? There was one of the young widows who was a teacher before. Those ones, you know, they are more knowledgeable. They can write notes. They can say, her name is Modoni. So he said, we can make Modoni the reader. So he went to Modoni and said, can you organize them? The Lord then gave me, as we are sitting there, he said, it will not just be like this. He gave me James 1:27, which is the true religion. And I had read that scripture so many times. The true religion is to visit the orphans and the widows and their trouble. It became life. Then he told me what I wanted to do is to teach them that they should not be lonely anymore. I am their husband. Isaiah 54:5 says that he will make you forget all your time of being a widow. Because he calls it the Jehovah, I'll become what? Your husband.
Amen.
So the first meeting, before I left Kenya, yeah, we had a meeting with the widows. We rented a tent because the Lord specifically told me, take them to somewhere, don't break, because if we have them, some of them, they don't go to church, others are Calvary, others independent, others are Wakorinos. If you take them, my mama was church in the PCA, just in our compound. If you take them there, they'll be their PCA kind, they are not coming. So we rented a tent in my mom's camper and brought them. And we got, then she told me, how are you going to feed them? I said, we'll cook tea for them. We didn't have money. We cooked tea. And that's how we started. And I told them, every month, you'll be meeting to pray. And from this day, you are not lonely. You are not without a husband. You are wives of Jehovah. So now if you go to them and ask them who they are wives of Jehovah. Yeah. After I left, I came back here. And I told them, and remember those who are in the ministry, I told them, yeah, now I need help. The Lord spoke to me. Yeah, we have to start really now. I was doing it before, but now it has to be official. Mispa ministry has to have widows ministry. More than preaching, immediately the joy of the ministry. Yeah? Think about conferences. You can imagine in Kenya when you go for conferences, thousands, all the conferences I preach, even in churches like Bishop Church is big enough to be in hundreds. Yeah, you go, Bishop Boyle was that time even actually, yeah, it was big, even now it's big. Preaching there are conferences. More than any of all those, the joy of those widows, I knew in my heart, yeah, you know that Jesus said, for this reason I've come. I knew for this reason, even if I don't do anything else, just preaching to those widows, nobody else. Thus, I knew, no matter what, that was what I called to do. This is what, the main thing from this day, a page has been opened. So when I came, I told the ministry, no, let me back up a little bit. So when I started visiting before I came back to U.S. that season, and I realized some of the widows, they don't have lights. You know, most of the people, how do they have electricity? In the evening, they were like, so when I came, the first thing I asked them, can we do homes, put lights? So I had six of the widows, and the first mission we did, we put lights in four homes. They have electricity in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! Yeah. Then we started doing it. After they met, I went back to after a year. Thank God. Now God is making it possible. You know, I told you I would go even 5 years, after 5 years, 3 years, because you don't have, yeah, I didn't have that money to be. After a year, there was money provided for me to go back to Kenya. When I went back to Kenya and we were sitting in a meeting with the widows, this time we are more organized. We invited the caterer. We said, we're going to have a meeting and we're gonna have lunch together. Yeah, when we were meeting there, then they told me, you know, Pastor Wajiko, you need to visit Mama Joki. You need to visit because she's one of us. Just go see how she's living. When I went there and I saw some of them, they were living in little houses made of, I can't even describe the material. They are just, you could see from outside the holes there. Some of them, they could not cook at night because you can't cook at night and sleep in the same place. They'll cook in the evening before it's dark. So the smoke will not be in the house because it's a little place where they're sleeping. Those things, you just cry. And I will make sure that from that time I knew that's it that God was calling. Now is the house thing, the house issue. The other thing God put in my heart is also to do, to make sure they have little income. We came back again, we built two greenhouses for them so they can have little income for the whole group. Again, I went again, we saw some of the widows, they are borrowing. You know the way your mom used to say, you go borrow some sugar somewhere or some, yeah, go to so-and-so, get some salt, go so-and-so and get some sugar, yeah. Can you imagine people are still doing the same right now? Little sugar that costs less than a dollar or something, yeah. So those are the things that we saw. Poverty, yeah. And next to those widows, you could see that home belong to somebody. Well-built house, stone built home, good home with electricity. But I was wondering, this person works in Nairobi. Do they pass through here every day and they cannot notice the need here? You know, when God has not put in your heart, you don't see anything. From that time, I started seeing people, started seeing poverty, started seeing this. The other thing, so as we met, the other thing God told me that as they get married, when you get married, somebody puts a ring. See, there is something you need to be doing so they can know this is the day of your marriage. So when downtown LA, where they sell these headscarves. You sell them in dozens. So I usually buy those dozens. When we have new widows, we tie them and we tell them, remember this day is the day you got to marry them to this man. And of course, in Kikuyu, we are not belittling God to be man. But he said he'll become your husband. That's how we are. So the ministry of the widows is not something I offer. It's not something I just desire to have a ministry so we can. You know, some people think you have a ministry to raise money. No, no. I started even when I had nothing, when I was just emptying my account. When I would go there, there's a time I think I took a loan even from one of the credit unions there. I used to have a loan there. Yeah, just to have something to give them. That's how. And I'm going to show you a clip, yeah, of how God, how God has used us in a mighty way. We started struggling even building one house. One house is $3,000. Now we have built 10 houses already in the name of Jesus. Somebody give God. Let me tell you, three of the houses, I think three or four, they are built by from Dallas. Three houses. Can you imagine it might be? Four houses, Dallas. How? Four houses. Seattle, they have built how many? Two, yes. Others are from different here. Yeah, so the ministry has been growing. And we have very chicken coops as I speak right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Two greenhouses as I speak right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So I was there last month. In May, I usually go May and December. In May, I went, and then I went back in July. July, I went to help one of my friends who have ministry there. And I got time also to visit. My people was there with me. I got to visit some of the widows because our mission is to go out to all 40. There are 47 counties? Yeah, in Kenya. But we started in here, our county. Of course, you started in Jerusalem. I don't know about you. Where you would start another place I started. But we have also gone to, to where? What is your county? Nakuru? Yes. It's Nakuru County. We have gone to Nakuru. And we're going also to the Murang'a very soon because we are getting groups being organized in the name of Jesus. God is doing great things. So our project, we started small. There was a time we could even struggle to raise money for one house. But as I speak now, because I'll be going back in December, we upgraded our mission. And somebody told me, are you doing any other one? That's it. We believe in faith. That's why even the theme of our conference, seeing beyond. Yes, rising beyond your seeing level. Not what you see, not what our bank account is. Actually, if I show you our bank account before we write down the project, you'll be laughing at me. What's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But God. So this mission in the month of December, our project is to build five houses. And I told you each house is 3,000. You can calculate that. Yeah. 10 chicken coops. Calculate that. And each is 500. Yeah. And I also told you I visited some of the widows and they have no water at all. So I saw the need is we need to buy them water tanks. They usually receive the water from the government maybe twice a week. Not twice a week, twice a month or sometimes three times. But they don't have anywhere they can retain that water until they receive. So we purpose, why don't we buy them water tanks? And actually the same day I visited those 10 widows, some of them, I met them on the street. And you know, my car is not so they wanted a light with their litogis at the back, their cars, the back. And they have walked 2 miles, other 3 miles to get water from the river. Yeah. That's a need there. You cannot ignore those kind of, I don't know. For me, I can, because that's what God, it really is me. Every time I would visit the widows, I was crying. But now God has wiped my tears. You know, God has said, like, Jane, I spare you that. Let me give you the grace to do it. Mm-hmm. Yes, so when I see it, I feel it, but I don't cry the way. What I do is now ask God to do it, to fix it, in the name of Jesus. So God has been doing that. So now our project for December, 5 houses, 10 chicken coops, 10 water tanks. Yeah. Let me also back up a little bit. Last time when I went there, there's one of the widows, not very old, she has young kids, 20, 19 years. Three of them, I found them, they were at home where I was. I asked them, how come you are not in school? I was told they were kicked out of school because of tuition. One is in form 4 who is supposed to graduate now, And I felt, and that widow qualified for us to build a house, but she did not have a rod for herself. She had already been kicked out of her rod, and she was living with other people. And two neighbors, one of them adopted the two kids, and then she was living in a separate, so she would cook, they come eat, then they could sleep in somebody's other house, and the other one, she was, you know those kind of chaos? Yeah. I'm telling you so you know where we are coming from. It's not that I just go there to be cute. You see some of the pictures here, we were climbing hills. Yeah. Yeah, you take like a mile walking, 2 miles walking. Some of the places that the car cannot go, they have to walk. Man, that is another way of using weight, thank you, Jesus. I take it positive. Yes, exercising. That's the way we are doing the ministry. God is doing. We paid school fees. And I thank God that one of you also told me, Pastor, you don't have to worry for the school fees now. I'll be paying the school fees for those 3 children until they graduate. Can we give God a hand? Yes, it was, we had no plan to be able to pay the school fees, but God is doing it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me tell you also about the ministry, then we're going to see the creep. Mizpah ministry started as a prayer ministry. I told you my mom, I could hear her pray from the beginning. We are brought up through prayer. Everything we got, yeah. Even believing for a cup of tea. After my dad died, if there's a time I had, I could see prayer work. Yeah? Mom would pray. I remember there was a time and I still had no job. I had graduated and she was praying and saying, in the evening, Bajiko, just tell me there is nothing to cook for the children. Nothing. And but we're gonna pray. And my mom would make sure put the pot, yeah, and the water to boil. Yeah. And she would believe. Do you know before the water would boil, sometimes we'd see people knocking at the door with the unga. Yeah. And when I say about faith, now it's not just what I've read in the Bible. That uncle faith comes. We lived in faith. We lived in faith. Some of you, they're hearing this the first time. Yeah? Yeah? The first time of this. And people thought we are the rich people in the area. My dad had built a good home. Yeah? But yeah, we were fine. Actually, mom lives in the same home. She refused us to work to build another home for her. She said, this is the home I need. I don't need another. You build yourself other homes. She refused. She stays in the same. She lives in the same home. That is the kind of faith. When my brother was time for them to go to school, it's a Sunday, they are going back to school on Monday, mom will still believe by Monday there will be school fees. And I am telling you, someone will be sent. Like the angel who was sent to bring you here. Yeah. A neighbor would just come. Neighbors even were, some of them were, I remember one of them. And he went to the Lord, sold his cow, yeah, and gave mom. And mom, I'm telling you, mom also believed God so much. And she gave a lot that the Church of Jesus Christ would be built. Instead of us selling that lot to buy and to take a shoebill to school, she said, the Bible says, Matthew 6:33, seeking the kingdom of God first, the rest will be added.
That's right.
Those who have been in a house, when you saw that church, it's in our media, PCA church now. Actually, they're about to complete the whole thing, yeah. People think it's our church, but mama even, she doesn't even preach there. She doesn't even, yeah. She just gave the lad that they built the church. Mm. That's where we are coming from. That's my background. Mm. People of faith. So when I'm talking to you, it's not something I learned in a seminary. It's not something, yes, of course, it's good. I went to school too. But it's practiced through a testimony. Through a testimony. So Mizpah, I was in Scotland, and I'll go quickly. I had gone to preach in Glasgow, in Scotland. And it was on a Saturday, about 2 a.m., I was preparing to go preach. I had preached the previous day, and you know Scotland, people there, they are so cold. I'm telling you, you think people are cold? Pastor Isaac, you think they're not understanding? They're looking at you like, no blinking, no smile, nothing. You know, and I am a Pentecostal person who would want to see a hallelujah. It's like say it to yourself and answer it to yourself. Hallelujah. That was like, Lord, what kind of message can I give these people the following day? At least Yeah, maybe am I not preaching the message they need? You know, I was like, no. Pastor Jacob was away. Pastor Jacob would have put me somewhere else. I didn't feel like preaching. And yeah. So 2 a.m. God gives me this message, and I thought it was a message, the scripture. First Samuel chapter 7. Verse 5 concerning Mizpah. That story is when the children of the Israelites had rebelled from God. And now they were being fought by the Philistines. When they were being fought by the Philistines, you remember the children of the Israelites, they were promised, they were the children of the promise. So if you are a child of the promise, you don't expect an enemy. Yeah. If you're a child of the king, you expect to be, yes, victorious all the time. But because they have rebelled against the Lord, even the little enemies like the Philistines were beating them. But the prophet Samuel was called by the Lord. If you ask them to come back to me, if they return to me, they forsake all their gods, they will forsake all these, all the work they are doing that they don't have time for me. I will be their God and they will come back to me. So what prophet Samuel did, he invited all the children of Israel to a city called Mizpah. And they repented. They fasted the whole day. He prayed over them. And I'm telling you, after prayer and fasting, and them returning to God, they went back and fought the same enemy. The same enemy who was making them run. Do you know that morning, 2 a.m., I still have it in my study Bible. I wrote it down. That was year 2005. We used to preach, but we didn't have a ministry by the day. That's where Mizpah came from. Lord told me, this is the kind of ministry I'm giving you. When people come to me, you pray with them, fast and pray with them. The same enemy that was making them run away, they'll go back and defeat that enemy in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That is Mizpah ministry. And some of you, they have those testimonies. You have come with the diseases that have put others in the 6 feet under. You have come with the problems. You have come with marriages that are falling apart after we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I still go back to the promise of God. Amen. This is not a minister I just woke up. Yeah, I'm thinking, what is the name? Mizpah is prophetic from heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. When you hear Mizpah, just come with your baggage. Amen. Just come. Just come broke as you are. Put a little seed there. Connect. Yeah, I'm telling you, you're going to leave that spirit of poverty there. You walk out today in the name of Jesus. You walk out with an idea of how to start a good business. Hallelujah. You walk up with the favor that everyone who had said no to you, they will say yes. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. The first thing I put that thing in practice after I came from Scotland, that is the time people are buying homes. You remember 2005, 2006? A lady was denied her own so many times. She came to our ministry. She was telling me, her name is Gloria. She said, my pastor, again, pray for me. We want to buy homes for rent. And the banker said, no. I said, you have come there now. This is the time for me to exercise what God told me in Scotland. That when people come, when they are beaten up, after we pray for them, they will go back. Hallelujah. And they will win in the name of Jesus. So we prayed for Gloria. And I said, Gloria, don't go to another bank. The same bank. The same. Don't try another. Go through the same. Because I wanted that thing to become real to me. So when I talk, I know it is working. Hallelujah. So that day, we prayed. We had our crusade in Shiloh. And I laid hands on her. I told her, go. On Monday, she went and saw the manager. Said, Gloria, you're back? Yeah. I need you to approve my loan. She went there. I told her, don't go begging. Yeah. And go with everything. Your bank statement. Your patient thing. Yeah, go with everything. Go ready. Go with everything. Make sure there's no time to take for. He will not tell you to go back. Go with your, get a copy of your ID. Get whatever. Go with a file. Make sure you have a folder. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me tell you, it did not take 10 minutes. He said, you know, Gloria, we will reconsider you and we'll give you a call. The same day, before they closed the bank, she received a phone call. Approved in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, that thing Isaac, when you see me preaching with this kind of Elisha's abode as a lion.
Yeah.
Jesus told the people when they were after Mary Magdalene, leave her alone. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's right.
Leave her alone.
Yes.
So I say, people, leave me alone.
That's right.
When you see me going bold and thinking now we're going to build 5 houses and the bank account is saying the opposite, leave her alone.
That's right.
You don't know where she is coming from. Yes, I have a promise with the Lord. Even when I see people are not coming and there are not so many, I never give up. The Bible says in John 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. Because God has not come to tell me, Jane, leave Dallas alone and go somewhere else. Hey, no. This place I will leave when the Lord says, now it's time to go to, yes, in the name of Jesus. Who would have thought 4 homes would have been built from you people here in Dallas? Hallelujah. Clap your hands. It's not by number. Jesus talked of the smallest church in the Bible. Matthew chapter, is this chapter what? Chapter 18. When he said, we are 2 agree. God, 2 agree. Just 2. That's the smallest church you have ever. But it is a very effective church. Whatever they ask, God gives them. Thank God we are not true with this building. So don't look at the empty. We are the greatest and effective church in heaven. Somebody glorify God.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
That's what we are. So when we see Pastor Jamie, you know where. If somebody is trying to attack me, what do you tell them? Leave her
alone.
Yes. Leave her alone. You don't know, you might be touching on Costa. Yeah, it has not been easy, but it has been effective. Yeah. It is working in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So why are we here? So God can use us. And I want to show you a clip, and if you have a question, then you can ask me. Yeah, there are many things I can share with you. God has been so gracious to me. It's the favor of God. Yeah, and this time I'm seeing it even opening Kenya. There are some offices I've entered I never thought. There are people I've loved, showed us with that I've never thought I would ever. Do you know when Christ is in you that your value goes up?
Yes.
When I was in Kenya before I started the ministry, some people could not even look at me there. But right now, I see the one because the value. Now, even in your city, when Christ is there, the value of things go up. Even you. Yeah. When you're full of God, your value goes up. People want you are very expensive. Don't you know you're bought with a price?
That's right.
You're very expensive. And that's why I tell people, hey, I don't need even introduction. I stand there, the value, there is something they'll see in me because of Christ and whatever you need. Let me, before I go to the crib, let me tell you the other scripture God gave to you. So you know whether God has spoken to you. Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7, verse 21 and 22. If somebody may read that, or maybe I'll read it. Sister Z, you have your Bible? Yeah. It's a story. Then we go on. Hallelujah. Thank you. If you have it, read it, just read it. Or maybe let me read it because I have it. Verse 21 and 22. And I, even Atasas, the king, issue a decree to all treasurers who are in the region beyond and the river, that whatever Ezra the priest, I put my name there, I was instructed, put your name there, Jim. Whatever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of God of heaven, may require of you, let it be done diligently. God was speaking to the treasurers. He was speaking to the people that he has trusted with money. Do you know even if you have $10, God has trusted you with $10? Money is not those only those who are millions. Is there anybody who doesn't have money in their pocket? A penny? You don't have even a penny by your name? No. Everybody has money, right? Something called money, whether it's in pounds or whether it's shillings. Verse 22, that's what got me. Up to 100 talents of silver, 100 cows of wheat, 100 vats of wine, 100 vats of oil and salt without prescribed limit. Without limit. The Lord told me, Jen, I have already spoken to the treasurers. That's why I seek getting favor. I told, let me tell you right now as we start, we are supposed to build 5 houses. In the bank account now, as yesterday, as before I got here, yeah, there is money to build 3 houses. Hallelujah. Amen. And let me tell you, 2 shakes. Yeah, there was no fundraising. One of the ladies who said, I can't even, if I meet her on the street, I will not tell you she's the one. We go to the same church and she met me when I was living out with me. Pastor Jane, I wanna support the ministry. These people will tell me that and they will fight, maybe it's okay, they give $20, $30. So I went to the car, I put it in my Bible, I went to the car, I opened. It was $3,000, hallelujah. Amen. And the memo was house. Then in the mail, I found another check, $3,000. The memo was house. Then Anna said, give. So we have money in the account that can build 3 houses. Others, they just gave money to the ministry, adding up to about 3,000, I think, 12. Yeah. So we have money now, almost, it's going almost to 10. As yesterday, you guys contributed. Yeah, for the ministry. I'm not talking about my personal. That's not my personal money. Not now. That is the ministry money for the project in Kenya. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't you believe God has spoken to the treasurers?
Yes, yes.
I did not tell them. Okay, how can you tell somebody give me 3,000? No, I did not even that one of the leaders. I don't know. But I took a picture of the check. I want to go looking for her. I'll ask somebody to show me who is Judy. Her name is Judy. Yeah, I want to go to the church and then because our church is good. Who is Judy? Who is Judy Swazi? Yeah, they are Dutch people. I can't even pronounce their last names. Yeah, so God is faithful. So you know where Pastor Jane is coming from. Besides preaching, I do preach to those widows. Last time, 43 gave their life to Christ. Hallelujah. It's not just giving, we also do that. So, as we can show the creed now, and like that scripture, maybe you are one of the treasurers that God has spoken to. And God has said, what have they called? What have, without limit. He says, without limit. Yeah. I believe God speaks, and that's what I never try to convince or to twist people's hearts. Of course, you can give people directions. Sometimes you say, who has $100 here? We have $200 there. But you don't keep on twisting. You don't twist those. Yeah. Yeah. We'll see this clip then. If you have any question after that, we'll take questions. After that, I'll let Pastor Isaac conclude it. Let's see that clip.
And not the other one.